And Amanda is a public health associate with the Office for State, Tribal, Local, and Territorial Support with CDC. And she will be talking about a comparative analysis of telephone versus in-person survey administration for health risk factor surveillance in three tribal communities in New Mexico. Thanks, Amanda.
So good afternoon, everyone. As she said, my name is Amanda Chimslin, and I am a public health associate through the Public Health Associate Program, which is a two-year fellowship sponsored by the CDC. And during my time in the program, I have been placed at the Albuquerque Area Southwest Tribal Epidemiology Center in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And while at Aztec, as it's better known as, I conducted an analysis to compare two survey administration modes, telephone and in-person, of a health risk factor surveillance survey conducted in three different tribal communities in New Mexico. And today I will be giving you a brief overview of the findings from that comparison. So just to give you a little introduction of tribal epicenters, there are 12 epicenters in the nation, with one located in each Indian Health Service area. They are funded primarily by IHS and other grants, and their main role is to strengthen the public health capacity in Indian Country. And so the area I work in is the Albuquerque area, and it includes 27 different tribes located primarily in New Mexico, but also in Colorado, Utah, and Texas. So some background. American Indian and Alaska Native populations experience significant health disparities compared to non-Hispanic white populations. However, national public health surveillance systems for a large part rely on telephone surveys that often lack representative data for American Indian Alaska Native populations, which often can be interpreted as there being no health concern at all instead of just a lack of data. So therefore, our team determined a need for methodological research on how survey administration can affect public health survey responses for racial and ethnic minorities in order to gain more representative data, especially for American Indian Alaska Native populations. So with this in mind, our team developed a study to compare two survey administration modes in order to identify best practices for conducting public health surveillance for American Indian Alaska Native communities, specifically focused on on-reservation communities that are often harder to reach. So we used the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, or the BRFIS, as our survey. The BRFIS is a nationwide telephone-based health survey sponsored by the CDC and conducted by states. The survey includes a range of health topics that include a core that the CDC requires, and then on top of that, states can select additional questions, and in this case, we allow tribes to select additional health modules to include. In New Mexico, the BRFIS underrepresents American Indian Alaska Native populations, where about 2,000 American Indian Alaskan participants are included. It is about 7% of those total surveyed. However, American Indian Alaska Native populations account for 10.4% of the total New Mexico population. And we believe this may be due to a lack of telephone or cell phone services in these on-reservation areas. And this in turn may affect or lead to selection bias. So communities or areas that have better cell phone service or telephone service being more apt to answer the survey. So this limits our generalizability of the survey for the American Indian populations. So for our comparison study, Keeping in mind the potential limitations of a telephone survey in Indian Country, we created a study to compare the findings of both a telephone and in-person survey administration of the BRFIS in 3 on-reservation tribal communities. So for the 3 tribal communities, we randomly sampled the participants. The telephone survey was over a 2-month period where they exhausted all telephone numbers located within the tribal communities by calling both landline and cell phone numbers. We contracted with the New Mexico Department of Health for this telephone survey because they are the normal people who perform this survey, and just so they would follow the normal protocol. And that includes using the computer-assisted telephone interviewing software, or CADI. And for the telephone survey, we also had to limit the number of questions that we asked the participants because of time constraints of the telephone survey. So we could only use 29 help module questions. And for the in-person survey, it actually lasted over a 2-year period, and we used trained community interviewers, and we were able to use 40 different health modules, so 11 more health modules. So the analysis I performed include looking at the response rate to determine if American Indian Alaska Natives were more likely to participate in a certain type of survey administration mode, and also to determine whether one of the survey administration modes was more cost effective, because that's normally the justification for relying primarily on telephone surveys. And also compare the participants of the 2 survey administration modes, looking at demographics and health prevalence estimates and seeing if they differed in any way. So initially, we planned to complete 50% of the sample by phone and 50% of the sample by in-person interviews, but we found after the telephone phase of the surveying was complete that only 18% of our total target was met by the telephone. As you can see, in one tribal community, only 20 people responded by telephone. And of those 166 who completed the telephone interview, only 2 participants were reached by cell phone. So in order to get a representative sample, we had to increase the in-person interview target. So for the in-person interview target, we were able to meet 57% of the total target with 372 more interviews completed by the in-person survey. So overall, you can see that by the table that the number of completed in-person interviews were significantly higher, which allowed us to reach a representative sample for the communities. So with these numbers, we were able to calculate the 2 different response rates of the telephone and the in-person interview. For the telephone survey, we used CDC's BRFIS response rate formula, which looks at the landline telephone and the cell phone rate separately and then combines it together, relying on different eligibility factors. So there's eligible, unknown eligibility, and not eligible. And then they multiply the unknown eligibility by the rate of eligibility, if that makes sense at all. And using this formula, we determined that the response rate was about 35.7%. In comparison, we found just using a simple dividing the number completed by the target that the overall response rate for the in-person survey was 68.5%. So when comparing the 2 response rates, we see that the in-person survey is almost double that of the telephone survey. And in previous studies in our literature review, we found that on average, the in-person interviews yield a response rate that's about 10 percentage points higher than telephone surveys. But in this case, it was 32.8 percentage points higher, so significantly higher than the literature has shown. So using our response rate and the number of surveys completed, we were able to calculate the cost per survey to determine which survey administration mode was more cost effective. And despite the higher overall cost of the in-person survey proved to be more cost effective, costing about $20 less per survey due to the higher response rate. So for the demographic categories, we included sex, age, education, employment status, and income level. Of these categories, we found that the age of the two survey administration modes has a statistically significant difference, with the telephone survey having an older sample than the in-person survey. So as you can see, the average age of the telephone survey was 51.3 compared to the in-person survey, which was 47.1. And in addition, both education and income level had a statistically significant difference between the two survey administration modes, with the telephone survey having a more a higher educated sample and a higher income sample. So overall, we found that the different survey methods resulted in two distinct demographic profiles, with the in-person survey sample being younger, having a lower level of education, and a lower household income compared to the telephone sample. And these findings are similar to the literature, in that the literature has shown that telephone samples underrepresent people who are of lower income, have lower levels of education, and that are minorities. So we looked at the prevalence estimate questions in order to determine if the different type of interview would affect the participants' response, due to the fact that literature has shown that the method of interviewing may affect surveys that are self-report due to effects of social desirability or interviewer effects. However, the literature has shown mixed findings on these comparisons, some showing that telephone interviews are less effective at gaining sensitive information, while others have shown the opposite or no effect at all. So we selected a variety of variables on different levels of sensitivity to see if there was any effect in our surveying. And so one of the differences that appeared was ever diagnosed with diabetes. We found that the telephone survey was more likely to report that they had been diagnosed with diabetes, but in a similar question of BMI that relies on the self-reporting of height and weight, we found that there was no significant difference between the two groups. And similarly, for smoking, the telephone survey showed that they were more likely to report that they were current smokers. However, with a similar question related to alcohol, there was no statistically significant difference between the two groups. And for preventative screening, those on the telephone were more likely to report that they had received a PAP test, but less likely to report that they had had a flu shot. And those were statistically significant. However, with other preventative screenings like having a mammogram or having had a prostate exam, there was no statistically significant difference. And again, for health status questions, telephone survey participants were more likely to report having had more not good mental health days in the past 30 days. But for similar health status questions, there was no statistically significant difference. So with all these different factors, we determined that there was no really specific definitive trend in regards to health prevalence estimates when comparing the two survey types. So our key findings, we found that there was a higher response rate for the in-person survey administration, and due to the high response rate, it cost less for the in-person survey administration. And the two different surveys resulted in a distinct demographic profile of the sample, with the in-person showing a younger, lower income, lower education level sample, and the telephone older, higher income, higher education level. And again, with the prevalence estimates, we found there was no definitive trend, although there was significantly higher rates for diabetes, smoking, pap test, and number of not good mental health days for telephone interviewees, and significantly higher rates for flu shots reported by in-person interviewees. So some of the limitations include, first, that the survey is a self-reported survey, that the telephone survey resulted in a small sample size for us to compare to, and we couldn't do a separate comparison for the cell phone because the number was very small with only two participants. And when conducting the telephone survey, the interviewer didn't ask if the respondent on the phone was American Indian before getting an acceptance to participate. So we don't know if people who refused were just not able or in that group to participate, so they weren't American Indian at all. And so also the varying time periods of the telephone and in-person surveys. The telephone survey was only 2 months, whereas the in-person survey lasted over 2 years. We used different instruments for the telephone and in-person survey. However, even though our in-person survey included 11 more health modules, it did not decrease the response rate. We also rely on different sampling frames for each tribe, so the tribe gives us either tribal census or voting records for us to sample from, so it varies from tribe to tribe. And for one community, we had to conduct the in-person interviews in two different phases instead of one phase for the other two communities. And then finally, it's difficult for us to estimate the manpower for doing the analysis for the in-person, for the survey, and so we were unable to add that to the cost estimate for the in-person survey. And so the implications for public health. As public health surveillance continues to rely heavily on telephones, we believe that it will continue to underrepresent American Indian and Alaska Native populations, especially those of lower income, lower education levels, and who are younger. And as we saw with the small number of cell phone response, as public health surveillance shifts in that direction towards cell phone use and reliance on that, it could become even more problematic. And so overall, we see that telephone surveys may not provide the most representative or accurate data for American Indian, Alaska Native populations, especially those on reservation. And so what we recommend is that we begin to use a more mixed mode, relying on the telephone survey, but also an in-person survey approach that can perhaps provide a more diverse sample, including the two different demographics profiles that we've seen from each type of survey that we used. And that's it. Any questions?
Yes. Did your literature search show that any other tribe had been studied about this?
No.
Okay, so this is cool. And then when you get a response rate of only in your 30% versus like almost 70%, how representative is that 30%? I mean, could that be so low that the data is not even good enough to use at 30%, thus making telephone surveys not adequate at all?
So if we had just relied on the telephone survey for that community to, because we also provided them their data back to the community, it wouldn't have been representative enough and we wouldn't have been able to give them their data back.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Did you share these findings with the State Department of Health at all? And what did they? What was their response in terms of how they do their verbis?
Yes, we have shared it with the state, and they hope that with more cell phone towers and more access in that way, that we'll be able to reach more Native populations, but they didn't seem interested in going into the in-person surveys.
And in the interest of time, I'm going to switch us over to the next speaker. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.